write a song for all the moms. And so we want you guys to help us write the song this time. We need a name for our song. Do you have any ideas of what we can call it?
Maybe I Love Moms or something.
I like the or something. Or something.
The love song that means I love you.
Superhero moms.
Superhero moms. Yeah. If your mom was a superhero, what would her superpower be?
Super fast at cleaning.
If your mom was a superhero?
I can picture her in my head.
Does your mom do anything that's funny?
If she sees a cookie, she really wants to eat it.
She sees a cookie, she really wants to eat it, but she knows she probably shouldn't.
But she still eats it.
But she still eats it. What's your favorite thing that your mom makes?
Biscotti.
Are there any words that rhyme with biscotti?
Eddie.
You know somebody named Eddie?
Mm-mm.
What's something we can sing that's about how good your mom's food is?
She cooks a lot of meatloaf.
Cooks a lot of meatloaf.
What rhymes with meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf. Where does she like to go on trips?
Florida and Bixby.
Florida and Bixby. Those are two really nice places. Where could we get some money to give our moms an awesome present?
Underground buried?
Underground buried? So we need to find some money that's buried.
So we gotta dig for it. How much money do you think we can find if we dig for it?
Seven. Because it's kind of hard to find money underground.
Yeah, it is. What do you think would happen if all the moms in the world were gone?
Well, it would be really dusty. Really. Well, the kids and the dads would have to do all the work.
What do you think would happen if all the moms in the world were gone?
I wouldn't get any more cookies. I wouldn't get any breakfast. My dad likes the pasta a lot, so I normally get pasta. But I would maybe scream in the world until a mom pops up. Only thing we would be watching would be probably be football, because a lot of boys like football.
Do you have any words that we could start the song with?
My mom is great. I love her shoes. I'm gonna buy her outfit and a unicorn. You are the best mom in the whole wide world, cause they like me and my son. I love her smile and I love her laugh, and I love that she cares about me.
I think that we just wrote the best song in the whole world.
This one goes out to you, moms. Imagine a world without moms, where we have to drive ourselves around. All I see is football, all I eat is pasta. No meatloaf, holy loaf to be found. This is a love song that means I love you. I love moms or something. It's not the same when you're not around. Oh, I love moms or something. If there were no
I'm Happy Mother's Day.
I'm a little nervous to follow that. Say happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. At least for me, and I hope you guys out there feel the same way. But there's nothing like a mother that takes care of the things. You know, I just remember what I went through growing up, and it's, you know, special, and just to have that kind of relationship. So happy Mother's Day. If you would, stand to your feet. Let's sing a few songs. Our God saves. Are you thankful that He saves this morning? In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We'll gather together.
Oh,
baby. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior. The hope of nations.
Lift it up.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Good morning, everybody. Everybody having a wonderful Mother's Day, I hope. And we are thankful for our mothers, man. What a good day just to celebrate them and to honor them today. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to call your mom and talk to her. Spend some time with her on the phone if she's far away. Spend some time with her in person if she's not, and honor her. Some of you, I know you have a strange relationship with your parents, and there's trouble. And you know, one thing that we learn is we forgive as Christ has forgiven us. For some of us, it's a tough thing. Mother's Day is really difficult. Some of you have lost relatives, and you can take hope in the fact that, you know, I'll see Mom again. Because one day we'll be joined together in heaven for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. So it's an exciting day. I encourage you to take advantage of it. Thanks for all you mothers who take care of your kids and bring them up. And there's no substitute for that. And so I appreciate all that you do, and I know the reward is far beyond me saying thank you. But if you would, grab that bulletin. There should be one close to you and a chair that's in front of you. There's a list of announcements that toward the end of the service. We'll go over that. On the bottom of that, there's a perforated card. And on that card, it has a section for guest information. If this is your first time with us or you've never filled one of those out, let me ask you to fill that out for us and drop that in the offerings box over here at the door as you're exiting. If you're a guest, we're not looking for your money. We just want to get to know you better. So if you'll fill that out and slip it in there, that'll allow us to communicate with you, email you, and let you know about ministries we have going on, ways that we can serve you. There's also ways on there you can communicate and say, I want to sign up for different things, our Connect Four, discipleship groups, things like that. And you can also place prayer requests on the other side of it. And we encourage you to share those with us. There's a verse on the screen. It's from Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And it talks about God, and it says that if God didn't spare his own son for us, what would he withhold from us? Would he not freely give us all things? And so God, as a loving, perfect, heavenly Father, wants to bless us and wants to be good to us, just like our fathers, or those of you who are fathers and you want to bless your children, he wants to do the same thing. So we can come before him, the Bible says, and cast all of our cares on him. He cares for us. So if you have things you'd like for us to pray with you about, you can write those on there. If you don't want them to go on the bulletin or the website, you can just write private on there, and I'll pray for those and won't put them out for public. But we are going to take a few minutes to pray over the list on the back of that bulletin of needs and thanks, things that God has answered prayers, and so we're thankful for that. Greg's going to come. He's going to pray for us. Greg and his wife Brittany are in a discipleship group with Stacy and myself. I'm really excited about him. One thing I've learned about Greg is he just loves God's Word, loves to study it, and I appreciate that so much. In a world where we like, so many people don't want to have an authority, and they may be a little too lazy or apathetic in their relationship with God to really search the Scriptures, I'm excited about him and excited about what God will use him, how he will use him for his kingdom in the future. But Greg's going to lead us in prayer. Would you pray with us?
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that we're able to come together as a body and worship you and learn about you and your word. I just want to thank you for all the moms that are here today and all the moms that aren't here today. And I just thank you for everything that they do in our lives as we grow up and just all the hard work that they put in that they don't ever get appreciation for. And I just thank you for them and their hard work. We also have some needs that we'd like to put up to you as a body. One for Anda Coker. She has a couple students that she's praying for, one with a heart condition. I just pray that you'd be with that student and heal them just like you'd be able to. Pray for her other student that's in the final stages of muscular dystrophy. Pray that you'd also heal that person and just be with those two, with their families as they go through these times of trouble with their health. Also pray for one of her students that's going through an adoption process. Pray that you just guide that process and pray that that student would end up in a home that loves them and cares for them. Also for her grandmother that's still in critical condition, Lord, pray for her and that you just continue to work in her body and to heal her. Lord, we also pray for Maddie. She has a friend with lung, brain, and breast cancer, and we just pray that you as the healer, Lord, would be able to touch her body and heal her of those cancers, and that we'd be able to give you the praise and the glory for doing so. Pray for Anne. She has a boss at the place that she works that doesn't believe in you, Lord, and I just pray that you would help her to be a light in the place of her work, that you'd be able to show yourself through her to her boss, that they would come to know you. We also pray for Ashley's spiritual growth, Lord, and that you would help her to make wise decisions and follow you in her life. I pray for Purnell as he's trying to get a job transfer to Georgia, and I pray that you'd bring him back to, here to this church, Lord, and also that he can be closer to his wife. I pray for Gary and Robin as Gary's looking for a job and they're also trying to sell their house, and I just pray that you'd help them in this time of kind of a limbo time for them, and that you would help them to be comforted and be patient and let them know that you are working in their situations, Lord. Pray for Tracy and just everything she has going on in her life right now, Lord. I pray that you just give her wisdom to make the right decisions for her and her family. We also pray for the missionaries of the month, Brian and Mindy Clark, as they are in London doing your work, Lord, and I just thank you for people like that that are able to go and give their lives to you and be a witness and a testimony to you, Lord. And I just pray that you'd protect them and help fill all their needs. We also have a couple things to thank you for, Lord. We thank you for James's grandmother's checkup was good, that her cancer's shrinking and that she is feeling well. And that's so awesome, Lord. I know we've been praying that for a while. And I just pray that you would continue to work in his grandmother's life and with her health. We thank you for Zach and Nicole, as both of them have a new job, and it's just in time as they've been blessed with twins, Lord. And we just thank you for both of those blessings and that you would help them to become the parents that you would want them to be. We also thank you for Donna's friend that she had cancer and now she doesn't. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we stand in awe that you're able to do things like that. And we pray for that person as they don't know you as their Savior, and that you would use this as a chance to show them how awesome and powerful that you are and be able to speak through them through this miracle, Lord. And again, we just thank you for being able to come together as a body. Pray that you'd be with the service, be with James as he preaches, and just help us to grow in love and wisdom in your word, Lord. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always good to be able to worship God and sing praises to Him. And if you didn't know this, I think we've talked about it before, but when we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping for a long time. And if you didn't know, this is rehearsal, for that time. So let's go ahead and practice. I would encourage you to sing from your seat this morning on this song.
You and I.
worthy to be praised. Shake hands with one another, find someone you don't know and say hello.
All right, you can head back to your seat. All right. Well, we're going to start off today a little bit differently than we usually do. We're going to have Brandon Lee. He's going to share a testimony with us. You guys see Brandon standing up here playing guitar for us a lot. Well, recently you seen him sitting down here playing guitar for us. And he's going to share just a little testimony about what God's done in his life. And so just celebrate with him And just as he speaks, maybe consider, you know, how that may be applicable to you and what God may be doing in your heart.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Well, like most of you guys, I grew up going to church, and I've always gone to a Bible-believing Baptist church. And, I mean, growing up, I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what the Bible actually said. I mean, I knew, like, the stories, but I never knew, like, what it actually said about how I should live my life or, you know, like, the deeper things. But over the past year or so, I've been doing discipleship with Michael, and he's really been teaching me a lot about the Bible, and he's really been digging deep with me and just showing me, you know, what the Bible says about certain situations. Like, if there's any kind of situation, you can always look into the Bible, and it'll tell you exactly how God says you should handle it. It might not come immediately, but, I mean, over time you'll learn. And he's just showed me a lot through discipleship, and it's a really great program. It really has, like, changed my perspective on the Bible and on church and a lot of things. So if you're not involved in discipleship, I would definitely recommend that you do get involved.
All right. Well, I appreciate Brandon sharing with us, and I'm excited about it. If you guys don't know, the discipleship ministry of what we do is we meet in really small groups. Sometimes it's one-on-one. Sometimes it may be four or six people in a group, but it basically focuses on God's Word, and it's a mentoring type of relationship. It models what Jesus did with the 12 disciples, and not just having a Bible study. That's certainly part of it. We want to get around God's Word, and it's the milk that helps us to grow, and it's the meat, and it's the bread of life, and things like that. But it's more than that. It's like Jesus trained his disciples, and so that's kind of underscoring what we're going to talk about today. We've been studying about the DNA of the church from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, if you brought your Bible with you, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you didn't bring one with you, there's probably a Bible underneath a seat that's in front of you or close to you. You can grab that. There's a table of contents in the very beginning that will tell you where 1 Thessalonians is. And so we've begun studying that. The first chapter is really cool because it's basically just telling us about what a church is made to be like. We've been looking at the genetic code of the church and how God designed the church to be kind of intrinsically, the way that he programmed us. And the first thing we learned was God designed us to have bodily function. And so that sounds pretty gross, but we learned that bodily function means we function like a body. And so God's created us. I love what it says, that calls it the church of the Thessalonians. They didn't see this as Paul's church. They said, this is our church. And so that's the way we at Connect, that's the way we should see it, is our church. Not in the sense of, this is my church, I run the show. But in the sense of, this is my church, and I'm going to get involved, and I'm going to be a part of it. I don't just come and attend and view, but I'm involved in the life of the church. And we saw how that there's this appreciation and gratitude, and how it just functions as a body. Every part of the body is important. Your body parts are all important. If you don't have one, you're kind of handicapped. And if you have a body part that's off, separated from the body, it's just going to rot and die. And it's certainly doing the body no good. And so that's all of us, the Bible says, are parts of the body. We're body parts. And so we learned about that. The next thing we learned that God has programmed us to have is effective evangelism. We looked at verse 5, and it talks about the gospel, how it came not just in word, but in power and of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And he says that they knew what manner of men Paul, Silas, and Timothy were. And so they had this effective evangelism. But that's not where spirit, so many times in the church, we kind of see that as the end. Well, they got saved, and that's the end of the story. When somebody tells their testimony, sometimes they go through a lot of their past baggage, and then they get to the point where they accept Christ. And now I'm saved, and that's the end of it. But salvation is not the end at all. Jesus calls it being born again. It's a spiritual birth. Just like your physical birth was not the end, it was only the beginning of your physical life. Your spiritual birth is only the beginning. It doesn't end at salvation, it just begins there. And God has so much more planned. In fact, all the things that I love about my life, all the things you love about your life, the accomplishments, the relationships that you have, they all come as a product of growing up. And a lot of Christians live in this world where salvation is the end of their Christian story. And so they're just kind of dissatisfied, much like a baby would be. If you were still wearing diapers, laying in a crib, having somebody feed you a bottle, life would be rather boring, right? But as you grow, you get to experience all the fullness of life. Same thing is true in your spiritual life. Being born again is not the end. It's just the beginning. And the bottom line for today is the only way to get where God wants you to be is by following. The only way to get where God wants you to be is by following. Let's read verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 1 together. It says that the gospel had come to them in verse 5. And then it says, and ye became followers of us. That's the us of verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, or Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. He talks there about their spiritual growth, so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about mentoring discipleship, how they became followers of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and of the Lord. So I want you to see a couple things, and the first one is this. It's the human element of discipleship. Believe it or not, God always uses man to do his work. We talked about that last week with the gospel, right? The gospel came to the Thessalonians. And God, in all his power, could have done whatever he wanted. He could have sent angels down with the message of the gospel. He could write it in the clouds. He could have stars align in the form of words. He can do whatever he wants to do. He could have his loud, audible voice shout down. But instead, he entrusted that to men, to the church, to take the gospel to the world. The same is true of growth. God could do whatever he wants, but he's designed spiritual growth to be in the form of following a man. There's a human element of discipleship. And he says, Paul says, you became followers of us. This great church at Thessalonica that Paul was only at for a matter of weeks became followers of him and of the Lord. They became disciples. That's the same word. Follower, that's a disciple. We're very familiar with that word. But so many times, there's like this disconnect. We get so wrapped up into our churchianity, the way things we're used to things happening, that we miss how God teaches us to grow people in their relationship with him. I mean, just think about it. We talked about being born. Did you know in India and China and other countries as well, especially those that... In China, there's a limit on how many babies they can have. And so they have this, it's terrible. They have this thing where the parents, if they don't have a son, because a son is highly regarded, they have a daughter. Or maybe they have a child who has a disability, and they'll throw the child away. They'll leave it out in the dumpster, or they'll carry it out into the suburbs or into the countryside and just leave the kid, a baby. They just leave it to die. That's terrible. It's wicked, man. How awful is that? In India, they have the same problem. They want boys and not girls. And so they'll just leave their children out to die and to be eaten by animals. Can you imagine just how awful that is? I mean, if you just think about it, it's easy to separate ourselves from it. But that happens in some of the most populous countries in the world. And what's sad is it happens in Christianity. Like, we give birth to people. They're born again. And then we never grow them up. We never become a spiritual parent to them. We just slap on the back and say, congratulations, you're saved. All right, well, good luck. Man, that's terrible. How irresponsible is that of us? Where we help people to be born, and then that's it. There's a human element. You see, God gave physical babies to parents. And the way God designed it to be was he gave spiritual babies to spiritual parents. In fact, the next chapter, we won't go into it today, but the next chapter of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, describes what a discipler would be. If you're going to disciple somebody, you become, he says, a nursing mother to them. And you become a loving father. See, you're like a spiritual parent. That's the way God intended spiritual growth to be. Can I tell you? I can't be a parent to you in this room. I don't know how many people we got in here, 30, 40 people. I can't effectively parent to you. And when you, thank goodness, you probably, when you grew up, did not have a parent that sat down with you one time a week for an hour and gave you a lesson, right? Hopefully not. They lived their life in front of you, and they were with you consistently. That's what discipleship really is. Discipleship has become a word that we just kind of throw out there, and it means a whole lot of things to a whole lot of different people. But if you just examine Jesus' life and how he lived and how he poured his life into those disciples, that's discipleship. Living daily with them, training them, nurturing them, helping them to grow. All right, so it says become followers. That word follower in the Bible, follower or followers, if you track it out, it's used 8 times. 7 times it explicitly says to be a follower of a person. We've missed it, man. In our world, there's this, in churchianity, that's what I mean by our world, there's this big emphasis on being a Christ follower, right? Are you following Jesus? You cannot follow Jesus if you're not willing to follow a man. If you're not really going to follow, I mean, it's easy to say, I'm a Christ follower. But we kind of deceive ourselves in that mention. But let me tell you about this word follow. If you check out, we've talked before about the law of first mention. If you want to understand a word, how God uses it, look the first time that it's mentioned. The first time the word follow is mentioned, it's used in Genesis chapter 24. It's a story that you'll probably be familiar with if you've been in church for a while. Abraham has his only son, Isaac. That's what God calls it. He calls it his only son, Isaac. And he's going to go search for a bride for his son. So he sends a servant to go find a bride for his son. Now in that, in our ministry training group, we do a session on how to study the Bible. And we just recently went over this. Incredible picture in there, how that Abraham, the father, pictures God the Father. And Isaac, the only son, represents the only son, only begotten son of God. That's Jesus Christ. And he sends his servant, the Holy Spirit, to go get a Gentile bride, the church, for his son. And the first time that they ever meet is the day that they're married. That is the relationship between us, the church, and Jesus Christ. God the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to draw us to bring a bride for his son, Jesus. Incredible stuff. But I want you to get, as it relates to discipleship and following, God has sent us to go and bring this bride into fellowship with her groom. But what it is God has sent us, his servants, to make disciples. And that word follow is whether she would leave everything she knew and go back with that servant to follow, to become the bride of the only son. And the question I have for you is, are you willing to leave everything to be a follower of Christ? In fact, in that, there was a servant there. Are you willing to follow somebody so that you can follow Christ? Because that's the way it works. Paul says you became followers of us and of the Lord. There's a human element of discipleship. A lot of times we deceive ourselves into thinking, you know, I'm a follower of Christ. I love Jesus. But that's real easy to deceive yourself. Your heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. And you're easily lie to yourself and say, yeah, I'm following Jesus. But I just want you to consider some of the things that Jesus said to those people who said those words to him. Many people came to Jesus and they said, I'll follow you. I'll follow you wherever you go. And I want you to see what Jesus says to him. Chances are, you're not following this Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. You can keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians. Of course, we'll be back there. But Luke chapter 9. It's one of the 4 Gospels. Closer to the left in your Bible, that table of contents will help you find that as well. Luke chapter 9, we'll start in verse 57. Man, this is a tough passage. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're honest with yourself and honest with God today, this is going to be a tough passage. Verse 57 says, and it came to pass as they went into the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to lay his head. You see what he's saying? He's saying, if you're going to follow me, you got to give up all the security. Man, it's nice to have a place to lay, isn't it? It's nice to have a home and a place where you feel secure. Can you imagine not having anywhere? And that's what Jesus told this guy. He said, you're going to follow me? You're going to give up your security. He goes on, and another one comes to him. Look at verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What's going on in that situation? The guy's not really dead yet, but he's close to death. And he's saying, just give me some time. And my dad's about to pass away, and it's important for the son to be there to bury them. That was their culture. And there's lots of cultural family expectations that we have. In fact, let me just throw, this might be one of the biggest obstacles to overcome. Over and over, you're going to hear from churchy people and churchy words, well, you know, you got to spend time with your family. That's good. You know, you should be a father for fathers. You should be a mother for mothers. You should provide and nurture them. But I'll just be honest with you. Bowling, it's not the spiritual nurture that they need. Watching SpongeBob with them, this may not qualify as, you know, really nurturing and bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Jesus says, it's going to get worse, so I'll just leave it. You'll see it in a second. He goes on to somebody else, verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my house. Man, I got some other priorities, some other things I got to do first, and then I'm going to do it. Listen to what Jesus says to him. Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, those are some strong words. To people who said, I'm going to follow Jesus, chances. But you see, we don't ever, when you say, I'm going to follow Jesus, I love Jesus, I'm going to follow him. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, there's some accountability when you have a human there to say, you say you love Jesus, but you're living this way. That's why God put humans. There's a human element to discipleship. Man, look a little bit farther into Luke chapter 14, a little bit farther to the right. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to just be honest. I don't know what to say, but this is tough. Verse 25. And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, because a lot of people saying they want to follow Jesus, right? And he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We talk about following Christ and we throw it around flippantly like it means I come to church or I try to live a good life. And Jesus says, if you're not willing to hate everything else in life and love me alone, you can't be my disciple. And there are things in this life that are going to be difficult to give up. It's kind of foolish to say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. But you're not willing to follow a person, because that's the way God set it up. He designed it to have a human element. If you keep reading through that list, man, verse 28, he tells you to count the cost. It's in that context of, are you really willing to pay the price to be my disciple? He gets down to verse 33. And he says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I mean, these find this throughout Jesus' life as he talks about discipleship. It is not what we assume that it is in our culture. It's a wholehearted giving up everything, forsaking all to follow. And that's what these Thessalonians did. They gave up everything to be a follower of Paul and Silas and Timothy, and to be a follower of the Lord. Listen, you just got to ask. You can't come to these passages without really asking, would I do that? Because there's a human element of discipleship. Sometimes we think, well, it's, you know, I follow Jesus, and it's because men are imperfect, and so I have a hard time following men. But, you know, that's just the way God has set it up. A long time ago, it seems like, we went through Ephesians chapter 5, and we talked about women, you know, wives. And the command that God gives for wives is submit to your husbands. We talked about how hard that is because husbands are so imperfect. And I don't mean just imperfect, so imperfect, right? And all the wives could tell us about that. But God still expects for wives to submit, even when their husbands are not respectable. And God expects us to always follow authority. Now, before we get too far into it, notice he does say, and of the Lord. Be a follower of us and of the Lord. It's not just like there's some strange cult guy out there and he wants you to do some crazy stuff. If you know, if it's just violating Scripture, then obviously there's something wrong with that. You don't need to do that. You get to pick who you follow. That's a beautiful thing about being a follower. You get to say, I find this guy, he's walking with the Lord, so I'm going to follow him. But what I want you to see is there's this human element, and the human model is so important. Think about babies. As babies are born, you know how they learn to talk? By listening to their parents and watching them talk and listening to them talk. They learn how to talk without a textbook. Can you believe it? Without a lecture class, they learn how to talk through parenting. That's what discipleship is. You learn how to talk to God. You learn how to pray. Did you know that Jesus had to teach his disciples how to pray? They came to us, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. They need to learn how to pray, and they learn by doing it. You know how babies learn how to walk? You don't have to give them instructions. All right, now, little kid, I want you to put more weight on your left foot. Now swing your right foot forward. You don't have to do that. You walk in front of them, and they watch you, and they watch you, and they watch you, and then they learn to do it. And you know what? That's what discipleship is. There's a human element of discipleship where we're supposed to be spiritual parents, and you learn to walk with God by watching some person walk with God. If you don't have a human model, it becomes ubiquitous. It becomes so airy, so ethereal, that we don't even understand what it really means. It can mean whatever it wants to mean. I walk with God. What does that mean? But you learn how to walk with God through a person, through following a person. Every part of our Christian life. How do you learn how to do ministry? You don't learn how to do ministry through a textbook. You learn by following, like those disciples learned to do ministry, by following Jesus, watching his example, and him providing opportunities, and then helping them and giving them feedback. That's the way the Christian life is all about. And that's genetically designed within the church, this idea of mentoring discipleship. If you don't have that, man, let me encourage you. You're missing all the good stuff about the spiritual life. It's all happened to me since somebody mentored me. And you need the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is going to come up on the screen. Paul's talking to this church at Corinth, and it says, verse 15 and 16, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. Get that for a second. They got 10,000 instructors, people teaching them. In our society, we have pastors and teachers and speakers on the radio constantly. You've got people you can turn on TV and watch all kinds of pastors. You can go on Amazon.com and find more books than you can fit in your house. But that can't take the place of a father. That's what Paul's telling these guys. So you guys have got instruction, but you're missing the mentoring part. You need somebody to disciple you. This is what he says. You have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not mine fathers? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, check out the word again, be ye followers of me. You want to learn how to walk with God? You need a human model. Some of you have maybe you can be Christians for a long time, and you've never had anybody just walk it with you, so that you can learn how to walk with God. You've never had anybody take this Bible and just show you how to study it and how to read it, how to understand it, how to apply it, and you never will. Because remember our bottom line, you'll never get to where God wants you to be unless you follow. You have to learn to follow. That's the way God works. And it is of the Lord. Man, I'm going to flash a couple verses up here real quick. 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He's saying, I'm following Christ, so you follow me. It's important as you look for somebody to follow that that person is following Christ. If their life doesn't line up with Scripture or their teaching doesn't line up with Scripture, you know, find somebody else who will give you the opportunity to follow them. Philippians 3:17 says the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me And then he says, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an ensample. We won't go into that ensample. We're going to look at that next week because it's in verse 7. And a sample is more than just an example. An ensample, it comes from the word that means a mold. And it's so you can reproduce something. And that's what he's talking about, discipleship. Mentoring, discipleship. That's the human element of discipleship. Next thing I want you to see is the godly effects of discipleship. You want to know what happens when you have a mentor who you learn to follow as they're following the Lord? Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says in verse 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord. Now listen to what it says about them. Having received the word in much affliction. They received the word. And the first one that's up there is faith in God's word. One of the effects of mentoring discipleship is you get faith in God's word. You begin to understand and believe it. It says that they received the word. And this is a big deal because it's not just about hearing it. Like you can come to a class and you can hear it. You can turn on an audio Bible. You know they have those now. They're pretty cool. If you're the person who learns well by hearing, let me suggest that you get one of those. Bible.is is an app that you can download and it'll read it to you. And you can listen to it. Maybe you learn better that way. But I don't. I start thinking about all kinds of different stuff instead of paying attention to what's being said. My wife does tell me I don't listen very well, so she's probably right. But he says that they received the word. It's more than just hearing it. It's receiving it. They received it. And if you will just flip one chapter over in 1 Thessalonians, he talks about how they received the word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He starts off and says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, he's going to explain what it means, how they received it. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He said, man, when you start to believe and receive God's word, that means that you believe not just it's a teaching of men, but this is the truth of God. That's such a huge difference. You know, as you sit in this class, you may sit here and say, you know what, I don't know if I believe that. I believe that, yeah, that sounds good, I like that. I don't know if I believe that. And there's nothing I can do about that. Because in this size group, we're not going to take time to take questions. This just isn't the format for it. Say, well, what about this? But you know, when you're in that mentoring relationship, just like a kid does with his dad or his mom, they ask questions all the time. You got a 3-year-old, 4-year-old? You know what I'm talking about? The questions never stop. Ever. You have to distract them with something else to get them to leave the questions alone. But they get the opportunity to ask. And you know, when we sit down in our discipleship groups, they say, well, you know what, I got a question about that what about this verse? Or you know what, I heard somebody talking about at work about this. And what does the Bible say about that? And you get to take time to read what does God's word and show it to them so that they don't just hear it, so that they can receive it. Like, this is what God says. And notice also it says that it effectually works in them. That means it brings about an effect. It changes you. When you read God's word and you believe it, you receive it, it has a changing power. That's an effect of discipleship. Man, you wonder how you come to church, maybe you come to church every single week, and you sit here and you listen, and you want to follow God, but you struggle with the same sin over and over and over again. And you wonder, how could I ever get deliverance from this? And you know what changed you is receiving God's word. It's through that process of discipleship. Sometimes you wonder, how come I'm never effective in my evangelism? How come I never really understand the Bible? I go to church all the time. You need to grow up. God's pattern for growth is discipleship. Listen, you'll never be where God wants you to be without following. A verse will be up on the screen. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18. I love the verse. We don't have time to study it too much. The whole context, it's beautiful. It's about how Moses, when he read the Old Testament, they had to put a veil over his face because of when he went up into the mountain, his face was changed. It was so bright, it was hurting people's eyes, and he had to put a veil over them. And that veil separated people from the glory of God. And so he says, and now he talks about, now we don't have that veil. He says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, the image of the Lord, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God, as you begin to read and receive God's word, He changes you. And there doesn't have to be a veil where you don't understand it and you can't really get the glory of God. It's taken away. And now we have open face beholding the glory of God. And when you do that, it changes us into the image of God, which is Jesus Christ. All right, we got to keep going. We're going to do this kind of quick. He talks about that they received the word in much affliction. We're not going to take time. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. Acts chapter 17 is the account of Paul going into Thessalonica. And as he's in there, the first four verses talk about how he's teaching in the synagogue. And for three Saturdays, he goes in and preaches that Jesus Christ was the Messiah who died, was buried, and he rose again. And then it says in verse 5 that some of the unbelieving Jews started getting really mad. And they grabbed some of those guys, man. They grabbed these guys and took them to the elders of the city. And they said, we need to kill these guys, right? They're going to kill them. And God delivers them. It's an awesome story. But that's just the beginning of persecution, or the word here, affliction. They face lots of persecution in Thessalonica. As we read through the remaining verses and chapters in 1 Thessalonians, and then if you read 2 Thessalonians, you find they're in persecution, heavy, or what he calls here, much affliction. There's a lot of trouble. Can I just tell you, if you're going to follow, if you're really going to get serious about being a follower of Christ, and so much that you're going to follow some man, and you're going to give your life, you're going to forsake everything to follow, you better expect some opposition. We learned in our Battle Ready series from Ephesians that every time God moves, Satan attacks, right? And if you're willing to follow God, you better expect some attacks. Really quick, what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 20 is on the screen. And it says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, check it out. Not that they might, but they will also persecute you. They will do it. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus. In fact, if you just say, I don't really have much persecution, you might question, am I really following Jesus? 2 Timothy 3:12 makes it a little more clear. He says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's going to happen. You just might as well expect that. That's what happened to these guys. Real quick, I want to give you some good news, though. Receiving the Word of God, what happens is faith in God's Word. It delivers us from all three of our enemies. Real quick, they'll be up on the screen. First one is God's Word sets us apart from the world. God's Word sets us apart from the world. John chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. You can write them down if you want to check them out. He says, Jesus is praying to God the Father, and he says, I pray not that thou should take us out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, that means set them apart, by thy truth, thy word is truth. You want to understand how to overcome the world and their persecution against you? It's by receiving the Word of God. It says God's Word cleanses us from our sinful flesh. It's up on the screen. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, his sinful flesh, by taking heed, not just hearing the Word of God, but taking heed thereto according to thy word. Last one, your third enemy. You got the world, you got the flesh, and you got the devil. And receiving God's word helps you to overcome the wicked one. 1 John 2:14 is on, it's not on the screen. Let's just listen to it. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. That's that it's dwelling in you. The word of God, you received it, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The key to victory in the spiritual life. If you feel like you're defeated all the time, you need to grow up. Because you know what? Kids aren't very good at battle. They're not very good at fighting. You need to grow up. You'll never be where God wants you to be without following. The second effect, it's you receive the Word of God. That's one effect of discipleship. The second godly effect of discipleship is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. God, it says in 1 Thessalonians 1, if you're there, listen what he does. In much affliction, he says, they receive the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Even in the midst of that affliction, they had joy. And where did it come from? From the Holy Ghost. You'll find this consistently. Let me just tell you about them. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41, the apostles have been beaten, and they're told, don't you dare preach in the name of Jesus. And they walk out, and it says, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That rejoicing, it comes from the same word as joy. They had joy in the middle of their affliction. How did that happen? How did it happen? Because they had been discipled. That wouldn't have happened early on. Remember, early on in the disciples' life, as the Pharisees began to criticize Jesus, they didn't know what to do. They had a lot of questions, but now they have joy in that affliction. Matthew chapter 5, and verse 11 and 12 are on the screen. It's Jesus, and he's teaching, and he says, when men shall persecute you, he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. You can rejoice in the middle of afflictions. That's what the Thessalonians did. That's what the apostles did. That's what Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus did. They had joy in the middle of their persecution. It comes from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, it's joy. That's not your fruit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit gets control of your life, those things are produced. If you can look through that, and it's just one fruit. It's not, these are the fruits of the Spirit. It's just one fruit. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in your life. As you submit to Him and let Him have control of your life, this is what's going to come out. Love, joy, peace. Look at that list. That's what comes out even in much affliction. We got to end. Let me tell you the bottom line again. You'll never get where God wants you to be without following. Listen, I believe wholeheartedly every single person in here, God created you. And He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan that He wants for you to live out. But you know, you'll never live that out. You'll never be where He wants you to be unless you grow up, unless you learn to follow. Today we're talking about mentoring discipleship. And maybe you've just never really given yourself to it. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved, but you've never grown. You never had anybody pour their life into you and mentor you so that you can become who God wants you to be. Would you pray about that? Would you submit to do that? Are you that serious that you would say, I'll forsake all to follow Christ? Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. It is so powerful, and I confess I fall short of it. God, we believe that by your grace, you have a plan for us. In fact, you have genetically designed the church to mentor and disciple people. God, I pray that you would make us good at caring for believers, at pouring our life unselfishly, that freely we've received and will freely give. God, I pray for everybody in here that you would do your work in their hearts, that they would respond to you in submission, realizing that you are the potter and we are the clay. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a chance to respond to whatever God may be speaking to you about today. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, I'm a believer. I know I am. I remember when I received Christ as my Savior. But I've never followed anyone. I've never become a disciple of a person to learn and to grow. Would you commit to do that today? Like the 12 followed Jesus, like Timothy followed Paul, like these Thessalonians followed Timothy. Would you confess today, God, I'm forsaking all to follow you. I'm serious about this. Would you ask God for his help to place somebody in your life who you can follow, who could teach you how to walk with him, not just teach, but show you how to walk with him, would demonstrate through their life. Are you serious about following Christ? If so, take a second and pray to him and tell him. Maybe you're in here and you're in the middle of following, you're in a discipleship relationship, and somebody's trying to mentor you, and would you just commit to God? And man, we all have these different things, like all those people who wanted to follow Christ and had all these distractions that sneak into their hearts and into their lives and their busy schedules and their priorities and their values. Would you just sacrifice all that? Would you forsake it all today and commit to follow? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't know for sure that I've ever been saved. I've never had a time when I was born again like you were talking about. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, unless a man is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the very beginning. That's the birth. Maybe that's you this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If that's you and you'd say, I don't know for sure that I've been born again, but I'd like to. Would you pray for me? I'd love to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you, but I would love to pray for you. If you just raise your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Somebody else would raise their hand. Thank you. You may put it down. Anybody else would raise your hand and say, you know, I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I've been born again, but I want to be. Pray for me. If you just raise your hand. Thank you. I see both of those. You can put them down. As I pray, I'm going to have my wife, Stacy, step to the back. And if you need to know how to receive Christ today, we'd love to take God's word and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's going to be your home, how you can begin a relationship with Jesus. She's in the back. She'll take you to a room where it's private, and she can take God's word and show you that. If you'll, as I pray, just slip to the back. She'd love to help you. Father, I do thank you for the way that you're speaking to our hearts. For every believer in here, I thank you for challenging us with this commitment to be a follower. God, help us to seek you with all of our heart. God, I pray we wouldn't allow these distractions and other things to come into our life to take us away from the life that you have planned for us. Help us to be committed as followers. Help us to be submissive to the leadership you placed in our lives. God, for those who don't know you as Savior today, God, I pray that you would give them the courage to step out, that they could have that spiritual birth, to begin living the life that you planned for them to live. We do love you. We thank you so much for how good you are to us. You're better than we deserve, and we thank you for it. We thank you for our mothers today. I pray that you're hand would be on them, that you'd bless them in a special way today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for being here today. Really excited about what God's doing in our hearts today. And so if you have something that you'd like to write down on that little bulletin, there's a thing that says, I want to sign up for a discipleship group. If you're sitting here this morning saying, you know what, I've never been in discipleship. I've never had anybody mentor me, but I'd like to do that. You can just mark on there and drop that in the offerings box. Maybe you have something. This is what God's teaching me, and you want to share that with us. Some of those will go on our Facebook page to be an encouragement to each other. Some of them I'm going to send back to you in a few months to let them be an encouragement to you about what God's teaching you and give you some help along the way. You can also put prayer requests on there. If you're a guest, I encourage you to fill out that guest information thing and slip that in the offerings box at the end. But the last thing that we do as a church family is we give. We worship the Lord through giving. And up on the screen is a picture of our missionary of the month. That is Brian and Mindy Clark. They're in London. And just last Sunday, they had 5 baptisms. London's a tough city. I mean, these are what they call post-Christian world in London. It's a culture that's really closed off to religion, really closed off. Because of that, they think they're closed off to Christ. And praise the Lord, they've been effective in making disciples and leading people to Christ. And so we're excited there to baptize 5 people last week. And so you can celebrate in that. For those of you who give to missions, and you can write that on your envelope there, that you give to missions, you can just know you have a part in that. And God keeps an account of all those things. We talked about last week how that God, he says there's an equality, that they supply what we need, spiritual fruit, and we supply what they need, financial means, and there's an equality. And so we're excited about that partnership. Continue praying for them. Daniel's going to come, give us some quick announcements. One thing to notice on that neighborhood, or the neighborhood outreach, that's not tonight because of Mother's Day, but it'll pick up next Sunday, yes. and he'll give you the rest of the announcements.